You are listening to Talking Machines. I'm Catherine Gorman.
And I'm Neil Lawrence.
And Neil, it is the most wonderful time of the year, which comes like 4 or 5 or to maybe 6 to 8 times per year. It's conference season. And in this particular moment, it's ICML.
It's conference season. And I know that because I get a lot of requests to put up proceedings on PMLR. And actually, an ICML is the biggest one. It's like, oh my goodness, I had to adapt my scripts because when I upload the proceedings, GitHub would time out with the size of the conference proceedings because I create the proceedings locally and I push them to GitHub. And it's so big that at some point GitHub just says, you can't be serious, and times out. So I had to change my scripts. This was last year for the first time. And this year I was so excited because everything worked. There were a bunch of things. I had to change my scripts to handle the fact that some surnames appear more than 26 times. So the original, going back for a long time, the key name for the papers is surname followed by a letter to disambiguate and the year.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
some surnames are appearing more than 26 times. And I didn't have like a rollover. So like when you got past Z, that was a bug. And then the other problem I had is that just pushing the proceedings onto GitHub, it's so big that, yeah, GitHub times out at some point. And so I have a new script that actually splits them and just checks in the papers alphabetically. So checks in all the papers that start with A, checks in all the papers that start with B. So if you go and look at the GitHub that underpins, everything's driven by GitHub on PMLR, you'll see 26 check-ins to get around this timeout that I was experiencing. And I have a new sort of bug this year that I don't even know what's happening, is that every so often, because people submit corrections to their papers, which is great, right, and I include them. And every so often, the proceedings, it seems to compile without its style file. I don't know what's causing it. It's happened also with cult. Oh. So if you go to the proceedings, sometimes you'll see it looks like HTML from 1997. It's not purposefully retro. It's just that somehow it's failing to bring in the style sheet. And I don't even know why. It's like my new problem for the year. I'm having to edit a lot of scripts here and do things that I didn't feel I was born to do. But, you know, so somehow the style sheet sometimes doesn't load and I have no idea why. So conference proceeding, conference season to everyone else means, oh, how exciting, lots of papers. And to me, it means, my scripts have stopped working again. But it's crazy. I don't actually quite know what to do with. I need that infinite scroll thing you get on Twitter because there's so many publications on the main page. Like the way we do the proceedings has always been like, I'll just put all the papers on the main page. And unfortunately, I do have a sort of thing that probably isn't working when it doesn't load the style sheets where you can filter by author. But put all the papers on the main page and just provide links for people to go and read the paper they like. But not quite working.
It's your own little personal Y2K, Neil. I love it. We could let you get back to publishing the proceedings, Neil.
It sort of makes me a little bit paranoid because it doesn't, you know, when I'm on top of it, it doesn't take long. But obviously, it's kind of a big event, like with thousands of people attending. Feels kind of important to have online.
And sort of important, you know.
Capable of reading them. And it's just like little old me running scripts, putting in hacks to make them check in 26 times.
This is how machine learning works on the inside, everyone. It's little old Neil trying to rewrite his scripts from 15 years ago.
Instructions for other people on how to do it in case they get run over by a bus. But I'm not sure that we have. I need to get it tested, like whether actually, because basically if I do get run over by a bus, nature are going to come back with a vengeance, showing, ha, told you need to spend $7,000 per paper, otherwise your proceedings editor gets run over by a bus and you don't get your proceedings out. Ha, see, that would be bad. I wouldn't like my death to be the end of utterly free conference publication.
Neil meets an untimely demise. The world mourns, but really, everybody's freaked out about getting
it's
their journals up.
$7,000 you now have to pay to get your paper you open access. Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, let's focus on happier things, Neil. I wanted to talk today about the winner of the Test of Time Award, which is one of my favorite things to think about and talk about when we're going through conferences. And this year for ICML, it was a paper by Max Welling and Yi-Wei Tay, Bayesian Learning via Stochastic Gradient Langevin Dynamics. And am I saying that right, Neil? Langevin?
I think you're saying it how I say it. I guess it's probably now you brought it up. Presumably French, Langevin. Maybe we should go for like, say it as you see it. Come on, Langevin.
That sounds good.
this paper, I think, is exciting. I remember when this came out, and Max and Yi Wai actually did a bunch of work at the time, which was very exciting, around sampling methods that scale. Mm. And I think in particular, I always enjoyed, well, I remember seeing, I think Max at AI Stats giving a keynote where he was pushing the notion of scalable sampling methods and trying to go beyond. In Monte Carlo sampling, generally the thing you're trying to show is that you hit a stationary distribution that in the infinite limit matches the distribution you want to sample from. Max, I remember very creatively, was arguing, yes, if you've got infinite time, then that's okay. But in practice, we have finite time. And if you know you're going to stop early, you might be happy sampling from a biased distribution. You might want to minimize variance because the error is, this quadratic error can easily split into the bias and the variance. And I, like so much of Max's stuff, just found that such a stimulating idea. And it's another of those people. I mean, Max and EY, very creative and technically capable people that we're very lucky to have in the community. And that paper is noticing that you can modify stochastic gradient descent with a particular injection of noise and give yourself Langevin dynamics, which allow you to say that, to view the stationary distribution as a posterior distribution from a neural network. I mean, I'm in two minds. I think you get more excited about test of time awards than I do. I'll let you into a little secret. The year that Karina and I ran Europe's in the test of time, Max ran it the year before with Zubin, and they introduced the test of time award. And I looked at it and went, yeah, we're not doing that. And that's a lie, I remember. Maybe Karina would say, that's not what we said. But I remember it as, why didn't I like it? I just felt, maybe it was like I was so tired from organizing the thing. But no, I think there was more to it than that. My sense is that, like, partially it's obvious. You know, the paper's got all the sites by then. I would also accept that we might have been wrong as well. And I think why I kind of like this one is because it's also very current. I would also say there's, if we go back to the Neurips Test of Time Award with Raimi and Recht, where Ben Recht, as you will well remember, he also spoke about it at the press conference. Was that the first press conference we ever did?
I think it might have been.
And the press conference turned into Ben Recht sort of like dismantling all of science. We had this carefully prepared press conference with statements. And Ben, which was great. I mean, we loved him for it. He sort of like in front of all the assembled world journalists.
He punk rocked our press conference.
Yeah, he did. He had this great t-shirt on as well. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So there you go. There's a great example that you actually, even if it is obvious which papers are highlighted, having that chance to give a talk, effectively there was giving a platform to give a message for people who have been around for some time to sort of say something new. So that's great. But I think here what's interesting about it as well is the extent to which techniques like that are also being looked at in an effort to try and better explain generalization properties of stochastic gradient descent. So there's a lot of work that I think tries to look at stochastic gradient descent as a stochastic differential equation. Now, the stochastic gradient Langevin dynamics is actually explicitly turning into a stochastic differential equation, which has a provable stationary distribution. But then there's a lot of work that says, oh, but what type of stochastic differential equation am I doing if I run regular stochastic gradient descent? And what will that stationary distribution lead to in terms of generalization properties? And I think that's a very interesting domain now. I would also call out, and I definitely didn't read the paper in general, but I've seen work by Philip Hennig and collaborators, and I should be naming the student that led the work, but we'll provide a link, where they're looking at a load of stochastic gradient descent optimization approaches and trying to view them in this context. And I think it's also an attempt to sort of look at the speed of convergence of these things as well and balance that against the sort of things that you can do when you consider them as stochastic differential equation systems. But there's also more exciting things happening, which are, rather than trying to view these things as stationary distributions of a stochastic differential equation system that is just converging to something at infinite time, where people, and I think Philip certainly, I think, made this point on the tweet I saw about it, is that there's other approaches that you can look at that come from stochastic optimal control, where you force the final distribution to be of a certain form. And I've got a great student, Francisco Vargas, who's also working with Pierre Todorov on Schrodinger bridge setups, which also have Langevin dynamics. And I really love the work. So I don't normally plug. Seems rare. Yeah. Now it's just going to be anything Neil's name's on that's on archive machines. I mean, there's really great work by Francisco, who's done a lot of the technical work on that. And I've been learning a lot from him through it. But the thing that's going on there is using Schrodinger bridges, which date back to the 1930s. And in his case, again, Langevin dynamics in the bridge, which differ from these stationary distribution systems because you have an initial starting distribution and then you have a physical system that drives you to a target final distribution and does so in finite time instead of infinite time. So all this Langevin dynamics Monte Carlo work is about what happens in infinite time.
Yeah.
These systems are like finite time. You know, my understanding of it is that you drive it through stochastic optimal. Well, I certainly view it like that. You drive where it goes through adding a drift to your diffusion, which I sort of view as a control problem. But there's a lot of really interesting work also by Arnaud Doucet and collaborators, which is almost the same idea. They simultaneously published it. By the way, our paper did not get into ICML. But then we got in. We got really great reviewer comments, which I think have improved the paper. But anyway, we're on the cusp, I think. But that work, and there's other people, Maxine Rosinski and others, are looking at this different view of it, as instead of saying, well, I've got these dynamics that at time infinity take me to the stationary distribution I care about, I want to get there in finite time. And I think that's an interesting direction, interesting new direction. And if I understood what Philip Pennig was saying, well, I think he was kind of saying the same thing for some of these theoretical approaches. And I really like the fact that they're actually, that's connecting to a bunch of work in physics that goes back to the 1930s, an enormous amount of work in mathematics for the sort of underlying rigor that you need to talk about these stochastic differential equation systems, and more recent work in non-equilibrium thermodynamics. I think there's connections as well. So, yeah, it's a great... I mean, I wasn't involved in the selection, but if I had been...
You agree with the selection, Neil? You approve?
Had been on the selection committee, I would have been choosing that for all those reasons. I think it's not just about, you know, its number of citations or how it's been viewed over time, but I think it's actually marking a point in the history of the conference where people introduced something, I think, quite... innovative that is now being used today. So yeah, very excited about that paper and its selection. Unfortunately, it wasn't published on PMLR though, because the first ICML we did was 2013. So I take it all back. Any paper that's not on PMLR is dead to me. This is now this conversations are only about papers that my students are working on. PMLR machines.
The things that have been published on PMLR. You're listening to Talking PMLR. I'm a voice, and this is Neil.
Today, we're going to review how you edit a paper on PMLR.
So that's so interesting, Neil, that you brought up the idea of the Test of Time Award and being sort of like, oh, why do we need to do this? But then the difference between the actual award and the talk that gets given at that award, I think that's so interesting to ask these people who have been part of the community for such a long time to reflect on work that came out that they did no less than 10 years ago. What would you be hoping to hear from Max and Yiwaite, given the way that you've seen their work evolve? I mean, of course, you're talking about how this particular paper is very like top of mind right now, but what else sort of major themes would you be interested to hear them touch on?
I would expect to hear all of that, but with Yiwai and Max, I kind of feel that they would surprise me. So what I've just spoken about is kind of what I would do if I were in their shoes. But one of the great things about people like Max and Yiwai is, you know, that they don't do what you would do in their shoes. They surprise you in interesting ways. I mean, it's almost like the only way I can cope with the volume of stuff coming into machine learning at the moment, that most of it doesn't surprise me in an interesting way. It's like, oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's nice too. But there are some people and some works that continue to surprise you in interesting ways. Like, you know, Neil publishes paper on Gaussian processes. Not surprising, right? But both Max and UI have something very special. They have technical capabilities that gives them a breadth of understanding of different areas, but I think also a contextual understanding of the wider field and what's interesting that allow them to publish breakthrough works repeatedly. I would expect to be surprised, because the thing I would think that you'd hear about, it is probably different from what you'd actually hear about.
Fantastic. Well, they are, I believe, giving a talk at ICML, as is the new tradition, or the tradition, whatever, as is one's wont if one wins the Test of Time Award at ICML. So you'll be able to hear them talk about that work and hopefully surprise us with something cool and amazing. And that is all at ICML 2021, which is a virtual conference entirely this year, Neil. But then next year, I think we're going back to in person. I believe it's going to be in Baltimore.
So yeah, it's going to be the Test of Space Award for next year's conference.
Test of Space Award. I love it. Yes, exactly.
From Test of Time to Test of Space, as we try and squeeze an unconstrained conference back into a small...
Back into physical...
Back into a city.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But we're now going to be constrained by the size of the largest Earth city.
What we need is just a bunch of aircraft carriers tied together, not unlike the way that they transported King Kong in that movie recently. That's how we'll have the conference in future.
Actually, it reminds me of the Randall Monroe What If series. I don't know if you remember those, where he says, what if... There's this one about what if every individual in China jumped up and down at the same time, the Earth would move off its axis. And he actually turns it into, that doesn't happen. Even if you concentrate them as much as you can, that doesn't happen, I think, is the conclusion. But he looks at the logistics of removing the entire population of China in and out of that space. I think he puts them on Rhode Island or something like that. And that's kind of reminiscent about what it's like to get... to get the machine learning together.
The real problems in machine learning are upload times on GitHub and how to fit people into a physical space. So if we can solve those.
Anything is possible. But actually, it will be interesting next year, because, you know, I think as we're seeing the sort of shakeout from everything we've learned during the pandemic about kind of what works and what doesn't work, because to be quite honest, most of what sort of happens just happens through continuity and tradition, right? People don't like change. They expect things to occur in the same way. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. In the meantime, you can explore all of ICML's conference online this year at icml.cc.
Apart from proceedings.mlr.press/v139 for the entire proceedings on one web page. Without the cascading style sheets working.
The Herculean task of having all...
Did not get that memo? Dropping in icml.cc.
Excuse me. So gauche. Oh God, what am I doing? Oh no. But the real website that you need to remember, forsake all others for the sake of talkingmachines.com, where you can find links to this, links to Max and Yi Wai's paper, and all of our other episodes. That is it for this episode of Talking Machines. I'm Catherine Gorman.
And I'm Neil Lawrence.
Tune in next episode.